You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
France and Germany look for authority to compel encrypted messaging apps to open their traffic to inspection. Shadow brokers' leaked exploits continue to appear in the wild. Assange promises more leaks of Clinton material. Ransomware appears in India and Vietnam. And Ashley Madison gets bad reports on three of the Five Eyes. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, August 25th, 2016. A transatlantic version of the crypto wars is flaring up in the European Union. Terrorist attacks have led German and French policymakers to rethink their national commitment to privacy and to look for ways of requiring makers of messaging applications like Telegram and WhatsApp to give security services access to encrypted traffic. The proposed measures would be used pursuant to investigation of terrorist activity. Public sentiment in Germany continues, in general, to oppose widespread internet surveillance, but increasingly that opposition is tempered by a willingness to accept significant exceptions in cases of terrorism investigation and prevention. Reports suggest that distaste for dark web traffic and lethal contraband runs particularly high. French policymakers have similar concerns. Jihadists' use of Telegram to promote their imminent murder of a priest during Mass in a church prompted the Interior Ministry to call for some way of eavesdropping on Telegram conversations. Many vendors cooperate like this already with French authorities, but Telegram is not among them. Several observers have noted that Telegram is a favorite messaging application of French legislators and executives. And it's not just encryption. Media that enable radicalization and terrorist inspiration are also receiving legislative scrutiny. In the UK, members of Parliament this week took social media companies to task for enabling extremism. The House of Commons Home Affairs Committee reported on the matter and specifically called it alarming that companies like Google, Facebook, and Twitter devote such slim resources to monitoring their customers' accounts for extremist content. Tech companies, for their part, point out both their unilateral actions, notably Twitter's claim to have shuttered 360,000 extremist accounts over the past year, and the assistance they routinely provide in security investigations. Turning to international cyber conflict and its consequences, there are some developments in the shadow brokers incident. Researchers at Silent Signal report that a relatively easy upgrade of the Shadow Broker's leaked extra bacon exploit renders it effective against newer versions of Cisco's ASA. Others, not just researchers, but black hats, have found the exploits relatively easy to use. A honeypot set up by a researcher at New York University noticed the same sorts of probes Cisco honeypots have seen this week, so the leaked attack code is clearly circulating in the wild. Security expert Bruce Schneier cites the incident as further evidence of poor U.S. government disclosure policy and that NSA is hoarding zero days when it thinks it's the only outfit that has them. Schneier also thinks this is not Snowden stuff, that is, not the work of an arguably misguided whistleblower, but rather the work of an outsider. That outsider is widely believed, of course, to be the Russian intelligence services, and observers think the leaking reflects a new normal in which cyber attacks directly serve the goals of information operations. In recent cases, those goals apparently center on discrediting the U.S. political system as irredeemably corrupt. WikiLeaks' Assange promises to release soon more discreditable information about Democratic presidential candidate Clinton. WikiLeaks isn't obviously connected with the shadow brokers, although Assange did say that some of their material wasn't news to him. More direct attacks on the U.S. election are also feared. Analysts predict direct vote hacking come November. Ransomware has hitherto most affected European and North American enterprises, but it's now being observed in both India, where a pharmaceutical concern has sustained an attack, and in Vietnam, where email vectors are carrying ransomware to potential victims. A new variety of backdoor banking Trojan called Twitter has been discovered in the Android ecosystem. It's noteworthy in that its command and control is accomplished over Twitter. It's no secret that there's a shortage of qualified workers in cybersecurity, with thousands of jobs going unfilled. Education and training for those jobs can be expensive, and one company, Cybrary, has taken a different approach. It's made all of its online training free. We spoke with Ralph Sita, CEO of Cybrary.
Seeing the maturation and the development of the physical brick and mortar training and classrooms being held and so on, we kind of came to the realization that this industry is very difficult on so many ends, because you have students trying to come up with money to pay for expensive classes, and you have these certifications that somebody can invest $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a week-long class, and they become, you know, obsolete. So we kind of saw that the industry was getting very commoditized, and a lot of competition, and price was a real pain point for students. So we kind of came up with the idea, hey, let's make education free, and we'll hopefully get to a point where we're monetizing it on the corporate side of it with companies to help fund our operations. And we're going to keep making education free, keep developing classes for free, and we will never charge for the education component of Cybrary.
So let's speak to that notion of skepticism. I mean, certainly, you know, everybody knows the saying, you get what you paid for, and you're providing this training for free. How do you put people's mind at ease that the training that they're getting is high quality?
We get tremendous validation every day. The users, our members, they are not only vetting our product, they are proclaiming it. And you know what? When they find a flaw, they're the first ones to say, hey, you guys really messed this up, and which is fine. We'll take the good with the bad.
And how about the employers? When people are coming, resumes in hand and some of their training includes Cybrary, what are the responses that they're getting?
We've had a lot of good feedback on that. And just from a little bit of a different angle, we also have a spot on our website called Talent Services, where we are having these companies you're speaking of place jobs on our website. When they're using our site to recruit, there's over 1.5 million worldwide jobs. There's over almost 300,000 in the United States of cyber professionals that just jobs that aren't filled. Absolutely, jobs have to be nurtured. There has to be a better grassroots effort made in getting them there. Start it much earlier.
You are a business, you are a company, you have people, instructors, and infrastructure to pay for. Where's the money coming from?
We are monetizing it on the corporate side of the house. So we have developed something called channels which is a place where companies such as a Cisco Talos or a Tripwire Alien Vault or Observe at IT and so forth can go ahead, put their content out there, put their upcoming events out there. And once it's consumed and once these companies get all these eyeballs coming to their page on our channels, they are realizing the benefit of a rising tide, raising all ships kind of methodology.
That's Ralph Seda, CEO of Cybrary. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights, one of several agencies aspiring to extend its equities into cyber regulation, appears ready to undertake enforcement actions against small businesses that fail to properly protect data. Hitherto, the OCR has tended to restrict enforcement actions to breaches affecting more than 500 people. We heard from Ebba Blitz, CEO of AlterSec, who said, quote, "The news from the U.S. Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights should be a wake-up call to small business. If the OCR uncovers widespread HIPAA compliance issues, that could mean small companies are at risk for new fines," end quote. And such fines, of course, could prove business killers. And finally, Avid Media, the corporate parent of the adultery facilitating service Ashley Madison, is in trouble in at least three countries, all of whom apparently have enough adulterers to make careless handling of personal information both a consumer protection and a privacy issue. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission is conducting an inquiry into whether Ashley Madison misrepresented itself to its customers, and a joint report of Canadian and Australian privacy commissioners finds much to complain about in the way Ashley Madison did business. So we end with some advice on privacy in such matters. Straighten up and fly right, girls, and mostly boys.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Joining me once again is Dale Drew. He's the Chief Security Officer at Level 3 Communications. Dale, let's say I'm an organization and I'm ready to stand up my own security operations center. There's a lot that goes into that if I want to build my own SOC. You all have a lot of experience with that. What are some tips that you can provide for someone who's thinking about building their own SOC?
You know, we've been on a sort of a marathon run in building security operations centers throughout the globe. We have five operation centers up and running today. And, you know, we've built a sort of a practice methodology on how to create and operate a security operations center. And, you know, I'd say the major sort of lessons learned for us are, you know, in the area of staffing and training and ownership. And what I mean by that, from a staffing perspective, we've had a lot of success in hiring non-security experts. What we tend to do when we build a SOC is we hire some core baseline security expertise to be sort of the foundation of the SOC infrastructure. And then we hire a lot of SOC analysts who don't necessarily have to have SOC training or SOC expertise because we provide them with training and certification sort of on the job. We've had tremendous success in hiring, you know, SOC staff that has financial and musical backgrounds because they're able to take chaotic environments and seek out organization of that chaos. And in an incident response sort of environment, that is sort of fundamental and key. And that becomes a much more important skill set baseline than the security baseline. It's much easier, turns out to be much easier for us to train them on security than it is to train them on the fundamentals of how to have an incident response sort of mindset. The other one I'd say is keeping up to date on trends and keeping up to date on best practices. And we do that by, you know, visiting other companies who operate security operations centers, and not only, you know, imparting our wisdom on them, but also getting from them what works well for them and what does not work well for them, and incorporating some of those best practices into an ever-evolving sort of SOC mentality. So the key to managing your risk portfolio is not only just a good technology center, it's also having the staff that can identify and respond and mitigate quickly to those threats. And so security operations centers are becoming a much larger component in the security arsenal for CSOs these days.
All right, Dale Drew, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.